Snowflakes are falling, my home's a calling, tall pines are humming, Christmas times are coming.
Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing, joy to all, everyone singing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home.
Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, Christmas times
oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, December 14th, 2016. Jason, Pastor Jason, Christmas time's a-coming.
It certainly is. It's not going to stop, is it?
No, it's not going to stop for no one, as they say. And, what, we're about 10 days out and a few days away from our Singing Men concert at the Marketplace Mall in Champaign. And we're going to be joined by the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. They have two different presentations that will be a part of our overall presentation there in the food court at noon. So let me alert you now. Get there early. Get parked. Get into the food court. Get seated. And you'll enjoy about an hour and a half with the Singing Men of GNN and the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. In fact, our rehearsal went late last night. We're usually on Monday nights, but because of Stephen and some commitments with the Arthur School District, he couldn't rehearse on Monday nights and direct us. So we met last night. It went late, and I think we've pulled it all together, and we're going to have some children presenting and some special features with the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. So excited to have everyone come out this Saturday. We will have our Singing Men CDs available. All three for $30, one for $15, two for $25, and three for $30. And I know even last night some guys were buying six and eight to hand out to friends and neighbors and loved ones. So come on out and support the Singing Men of GNN and your Great News Radio station. And we'll have a prize drawing. So if you fill out a Voice Listener Radio survey, you may be eligible to win a prize, or you will be eligible to win a prize. And we'll give those out. And it'll be great to give you a Christmas hug and enjoy our presentation. In fact, Jim Gunther and I were at Marketplace Mall yesterday working with the mall manager, and they've just been outstanding. This is the 19th year, Jason, in a row that we've sung a Christmas concert there in the food court. I mean, 19 straight years. And they already were asking us yesterday, what's the date for next year? And that'll be our 20th, so that's kind of neat. But they want to get it on the calendar and get everything set, and they're just very accommodating and wonderful, and appreciate Cynthia over there. And I think the general manager, one of the managers' name is Mark, and then Dennis is the head kahuna, and he's just great. They help out with setting up the chairs, and we'll be getting our risers and everything put in on Friday night, so then Saturday we can kind of show up with it set up and do the sound checks, and then at noon, begin with that presentation. So come on, everyone, come on out. Rain or shine, sleet or snow. We're not quite certain about the weather yet. They said it may snow, and we hope it doesn't go from like 50 degrees, rainy, and then down to 20. That's what we're hoping doesn't happen. And so pray with us that the weather will be just right so that you can make it out safely and enjoy about an hour and a half with the Singing Men of GNN and the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. So, yeah, that's been a little taxing. It'll be the third Saturday, third weekend in a row that we've sung a Christmas concert. This is our last presentation of the year. And so it'll be a great time to send us off. Matthew actually is rejoining us for this Saturday. Our rehearsal last night, we had Pierre and Matthew Gladden, who is our former pianist for the last 5 years, well, because of his work schedule and such, he recruited Pierre, and so Pierre's been practicing and put on the last few concerts with us, but he just returned last night. He came to rehearsal, and then I think he either had a late-night flight or he had to leave last night to get onto his flight, maybe up at O'Hare, and he's flying to Taiwan. I guess it's like about a 14-hour flight. So he's gone, so Matthew's filling in, and many of you are familiar with Matthew for these past 5 years, and so it's all happening noon this Saturday at the Marketplace Mall Food Court in Champaign on North Neal Street. Okay, that's a little snapshot into the Burns life. What about the Schiffo family?
Well, for us, we're just trying to keep away from the flu, but the flu keeps catching us. And just getting ready for Christmas, just getting ready for, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, all the time in between, and just trying to keep our head out of crazy, too, you know, and that. But really, I've just been reading and reading and reading and just been blown away, you know, as we're reading the Advent story, Mark, and just looking at all the events that are leading up to Jesus' birth. I'm just amazed by so many of the different events. In fact, I had planned a certain kind of preaching schedule going into Christmas, and then I just pretty much dismantled it because I said, I just want to read the Christmas story because I find it so compelling and so powerful. And these people that God uses, you know, just last night, this past weekend I preached it, but this last night again I was reading the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And what an amazing story it is. You know, that it begins in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, which is such a powerful way to begin that because it tells us that this isn't a myth. That if you want to understand what this story is and how this story happened and if it's true or not true, well just go find King Herod. Go dig up some of his remains. Go look at the historical record for King Herod, king of Judea, and you're going to find a real person. Because Luke anchors this story, a real story, in the life of a real person, King Herod. And then immediately he says there was a priest named Zechariah. So we start from kind of the heights of kingdom and then down to, like, your average priest. You know, Zechariah was just one of many divisions of priests who would serve 2 weeks in the temple every year. And on this occasion, Zechariah and is chosen. They cast lots, and he's chosen to go in and to burn the incense that will go up as a fragrant offering that will symbolize the prayers of Israel for God's people. So so great is this honor that the minute a priest was elected to do this and perform this ceremony, he was retired. I mean, so after this, after Zechariah does this act, after he goes into the temple and offers his incense, he is retired. He is done with his priestly service in the temple. And it says here that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. And that sounds amazing. I mean, here you've got people who are walking blamelessly, what? In the sight of the Lord, before God. And walking in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. And so you would just by the first couple of verses here think, this is amazing. By the way, Zechariah didn't, you know, all priests were mandated through the scripture in Leviticus and both Ezekiel to marry a certain kind of woman. And Zechariah goes above and beyond because it says here in the scriptures that he married a daughter of Aaron. So he set the bar high. He married a righteous woman. And so he marries this woman, Elizabeth, and they're righteous and they're walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes before the Lord. This seems like such an amazing thing. But then verse 7 comes along. And verse 7 says, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. That verse says they were too old to have a child and Elizabeth couldn't bear a child. Now, we know if we study historically, the Jews believed that barrenness was a sign of sin. In fact, later on in Luke chapter 1 and verse 25, after Elizabeth finds out that she's going to bear this son and his name will be John, it says, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked upon me and taken away my what? Reproach among people. A reproach is kind of this to be looked down upon, to be frowned upon, to be ostracized or scorned behind your back, and it says amongst people. So we know that Zechariah and Elizabeth probably dealt with quite a bit of frustration and anxiety, backbiting, maybe gossiping about the reason why they didn't have a son, the reason why she was barren. And so here you have these people who are walking blamelessly in the sight of the Lord and the commandments and the statutes, but they don't have any children because Elizabeth was barren. And that is an important part of the story, because then the story goes on to say that Zechariah goes in to serve in the temple, and he's chosen by those lots to go and burn the incense. And it said, and then appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. By the way, the right side of the altar was where the showbread was. It was the presence of the Lord. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said, Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Can you imagine that? This before this, it's been 400 to 600 years since there has been any prophetic utterance in all of Israel. There has been silence from heaven. And here in this moment, Zechariah hears the voice of the Lord coming through this angel. He hears a proclamation, a prophetic proclamation from the Lord. I mean, Zechariah is standing on the edge of redemptive history in this moment. It is really an amazing moment. And so much so that fear falls upon him. He doesn't know what to do. And how about this? How amazing would it be? I mean, think about all the prayers that we've said and all the prayers that have been prayed, all the prayers you've prayed on behalf of people. If God's angel Gabriel showed up and said, Mark, your prayers have been heard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how powerful is that? What a powerful affirmation that God's ear is bent towards the words of his people, that he hears, that when the Bible says that he is listening, that he is attentive to the prayers being prayed in this place, that he's not lying. He's telling the truth. Your prayers have been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Now, this is really kind of amazing because you have to think there's two things happening as he's in the temple and he's offering these prayers up, the incense up on behalf of Israel. Normally, the priest would offer, they'd be praying for the consolation of Israel. They'd be praying for the salvation of Israel. They'd be praying for the Messiah to come. But I do have to think, because the Bible is so clear to tell us that Zechariah and Elizabeth had no child and they were barren and both were advanced in years, that there was probably a deep yearning and a longing inside of Zechariah for a son. That maybe in the temple, Zechariah said, Lord, if only I had a son. And here in this moment, the angel comes and he answers both prayers, the consolation of Israel, the salvation of Israel, and a son. Because John will serve as the forerunner to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so he says, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And you will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah and turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Now that's pretty amazing, yeah. You know, as a dad. I always wonder what's going to happen with my son, you know, where he's going to work and what he's going to do and what he's going to accomplish with his life. Here, the angel Gabriel comes and tells Zechariah exactly what John is going to do. But here is something that's really interesting, because I think that what Zechariah shows in this moment is something that we all deal with. And that is that we have something deep down in our hearts, some sort of yearning, something that is unfulfilled, that is so much so that we don't even know if the Lord can do it. I call it the impossible joy. Because here, Gabriel has come, and Gabriel has told Zechariah that John is going to go in the spirit and the power of Elijah, that he's going to turn the hearts of fathers to their children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and he is going to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. I mean, that is pretty darn amazing. And what does Zechariah say back? Does he say, oh my gosh, I can't believe, Lord, the powerful way you're going to use my son. Lord, I can't believe the magnitude of the mission that you have to lay before him. No, he says this. How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. He says, wait a second. I can't have killed children. I mean, because he sees it so impossible that he could even have this kind of joy. This is something he's probably been holding out his whole life, wondering, watching other fathers with their sons and saying, gosh, I wish I had a son like that. And so in this moment, as the angel is answering this prayer, he's saying, Lord, do you even know how this works? Do you even know how the human body works? Do you even know that my wife, she can't carry a baby? I can't make babies. There's no way this can happen. He's hung up on the fact that he can't have a son, that he misses the magnitude of the mission that John is going to be called to. And I love this. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. The angel just gives him his name. Now, Zechariah, who was a priest, knew the Old Testament, so he knew that Gabriel was the angel who appeared before Daniel. He knew that Gabriel was the one who came and who continues to come. And he says, and I stand in the presence of God. How do you like that testimony?
Yeah.
I'm Gabriel, whose name means strength, and I stand in the presence of God. Do you have any other questions, Zechariah? Anything else you want to ask me?
You want to play hardball? I stand in the presence of God, man.
Exactly. I mean, it's pretty amazing. He says, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news, and behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place. He says, in essence, he says, your wife, who can't stand witness because she's a woman, is going to have to stand witness because I'm going to make you silent. It's really an amazing story to me, Mark, because here you have this couple who I think deal with the same things that we deal with. I think all of us have this kind of this thing where we're saying, Lord, how could that ever come true? How could that ever be possible? I mean, I've sat with so many different people, whether it's children coming to the Lord, whether it's the reconciliation of a marital relationship, whether it's reconciling with a loved one like a father or a mother, or having a child. I think there are things that people say to the Lord, and they say, Lord, if only you would do this. Mm-hmm. As if the Lord cannot, or as if the Lord doesn't understand. And I take such great comfort at those words of Gabriel, who says, I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking quite the contrast of Mary's response when the angel says that she's going to bear a child, you know, where she kind of more like, I guess it can be done as you say, where Zechariah, like you're saying, is how can this be? At least Mary seemingly was thinking more like, I guess this is going to happen. I just don't know. I don't understand how, but do with me as you will.
Yeah. And then think if you go down to verse 26, I mean, so Zechariah is struck silent. But you have to imagine from this day forward, you know, sometimes I like to get between the verses and try and think about the emotions that are happening here. When it says, after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in these days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among the people. I kind of think every day Zechariah looked at her as her belly got a little more round, as the baby began to form in her, as he could see it, as he could put his hand on there and feel the baby moving and just go, oh my gosh. And I got to keep thinking that those words of Gabriel kept ringing in his ears. I stand in the presence of God, and I come to bring you this good news. I come to tell you that what you thought was impossible is possible, because all things are possible with God. And so let's trust God. I mean, because isn't that what Christmas is, Mark? Isn't that what Christmas is, where we arrive at the manger and we stand in the presence of God and we see the good news that was sent to us?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the call in that moment is to believe. The call of Christmas is not to give more gifts. And I'm not saying that gifts are bad, but it's not to give more gifts. It's not to buy a bigger tree, and bigger trees aren't bad. It's not to do any of that, but Christmas, for those of us who are a Christian, is for us to stand in the presence of God and to declare the good news, this good news that has been sent to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then to stand and kind of probably like Zechariah, as John was being formed in the womb, just stand in awe of what God has done. I mean, when I really just sit back and think about God, who can do all things, you know, who kind of set the stars in the sky and put the planets into motion, this same God who humbled himself and he came as a baby. I mean, shed divinity, came into humanity, into poverty as this little baby. I mean, what an amazing thing. What an amazing act. And then to grow up amongst us, to touch us, to heal us, to walk towards the cross and bring us salvation. I mean, that is just, it's almost outrageous.
Yeah.
It almost seems impossible. And I think what I told the folks in our church on Sunday morning is, I said, if you can't, if you're like Zechariah, and you can't believe that there is something that God, the God who can do all things, can't do, then how will you believe that God shed divinity and came into humanity? How will you believe that God went to the cross and shed his blood for the forgiveness of your sins? And how will you believe that he was resurrected on the third day? Because in order to believe all of those things, which seem almost even more impossible, then you have to believe that nothing is impossible with God.
Hmm.
And that's what Mary says, isn't it? She says, I am the Lord's servant, then do with what you will.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I know with you being a pro-life pastor and biblically based and very pro-life, I've always been intrigued by these two passages. We kind of covered them briefly. Zechariah is told by the angel that the son that he'll call John will be, is the text, I don't have the text open in front of me, but filled with the Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb or something? Is that how it is recorded? So that's kind of an, if you really think about that, pro-lifers, God was already working with the forming of that child from that inception on, whatever, however many months or, you know. But the other one that I always think is really unique is Elizabeth, that John that's forming in Elizabeth, this child, that it leaps when Mary shows up. It leaps in her womb. So there was that recognition that when Mary showed up, so that baby that's being formed, you know, again, had sensitivity or however, you know, that kind of unique passage that the child leaps in Elizabeth's womb when Mary shows up. And somewhere maybe around, what, she was 6 months pregnant at the time?
Yeah. I mean, the whole text is just amazing because, you have, again, that silence where nothing has been uttered since Malachi. There's really been nothing. And all of a sudden, God begins to work, and he fills this baby with the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, nobody was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit would come upon them, and then the Spirit would go, would remove itself from them. But they were never filled from the inside with the Holy Spirit. And even the verse you just mentioned, it said, and the baby leapt in her womb. And then listen to this. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you amongst women." Could you imagine that Elizabeth, who was aged, who had never experienced anything like this? You know, I think sometimes when I pray and the Holy Spirit's at work, then all the hair on the back of my neck seems to stand up. And you have this woman who maybe never experienced any of that. And all of a sudden, the baby leaps in her womb, and she experiences the indwelling fullness of the Holy Spirit. I mean, all that kind of peace, joy, kind, gentleness, all the things that Galatians tells us that the Holy Spirit brings, she, for the first time, experiences that. I have to think that was a pretty profound moment.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. All right. Well, we got to cut it short. Pretty soon, we're going to have you in the studio again, and we won't be doing this over the phone lines. In good time, I guess, as they say, in good time. But thank you for being available, Jason. Thank you, listener, for tuning in. Hope to see you on Saturday, the Great News Radio presentation in the food court with the singing men of GNN and the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.